Mason, I'm talking about you. I really felt God was saying that he never sleeps, and that he was saying grace with the reminder of one thing. I never sleep. Sorry, I'm always there. I'm never sleep. And the other picture I saw was
to the Lord. So I don't know if there's someone trying to be pregnant or that is pregnant, you're maybe, but otherwise maybe someone you know that's trying to get pregnant or something that, or yeah, but I don't know. Then otherwise I'm just going to pray for it. Yeah. Lord, I don't know who I'm, yeah, but you know who it is, but I'm coming to you for it, and I'm praying to you with all these people here that you will bless this person coming to you, asking for you to raise a child in your name, God, that you will bless them with a child on the right time that you know, Lord, that you will just be a blessing in their life, and then show them what you want for them, whether they're pregnant, and that you will bless them with the pregnancy, that all will go out. I pray it all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Anyone else who's got in the week what passed? No, in the week that passed, that you say, I could see God's hand, I could see something happening, or...
So this is just with regards to last week's sermon, well, and before that. So in my quiet time, I got a scripture that Philippians 3 verse 8, that I see everything is worthless for this passing knowledge of knowing Christ. And then in small group, 2 weeks back, we also spoke about that verse, and then Rodaika mentioned that verse again in the weekend, and God is really at a place where He's calling me to just be in His inner room, to do nothing else, but just really to abide in Him and to be in that sacred place the whole time, even if I'm hanging up the washing or whatever, just to constantly meditate on who He is. And then I got that, and just to see everything else is worthless. And then in the week I was feeling down, I just asked Christoph to read me something out of the Bible, and he read me. I can't remember what he read me, and then he said, hey, I also wanted to share this with you that I feel God is telling us to do. And then he read me that scripture again. And I was like, okay, God, I get it. And then I just started crying, because for the first time, that became heart knowledge. And then I was like, oh, but it doesn't matter if it's gray the whole day, if I don't have a view. And so everything that I've given up for Christ already doesn't have any worth. And I haven't, like, won that victory yet. There's still days and seconds and minutes that it goes up and down, but it really just reveals your unthankfulness if you see that it's actually worthless, if you just, and Christ is anything worth pursuing. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Steph, Lord. You know her condition, Lord, and you know that power is maybe not there, Lord. Supernaturally, it is possible, Lord, to overshadow her, your power, Father, to put your loving Father arms around her, Lord, that she knows, Lord, that she's a child of yours, Lord. It gives us such a satisfaction, such a knowledge of knowing who you are and who she is in you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you're going to strengthen her, Lord. The devil is not going to steal from her time, Lord. Thank you for this awesome daughter of yours, in Jesus' name. Anyone else who wants to give a testimony of what happened during the week that the Holy Spirit was working through you, that something happened?
You might be seated. Psalm 98. I don't know if all of you know, but 89. But I struggled this last year a lot with my health. And then I think, oh, okay, it's the adaption, okay, it's the long winter, okay, it's perhaps this. And I just didn't feel well. I struggled to find a good doctor and people that will take me seriously. And later on, I sat crying at the doctor, and and I think they rather saw me going than coming. But in any case, at the end, it was sorted. And I said to God, but why? What happened? Why did I struggle so long? And I was so tired, and I didn't have energy, and I couldn't focus. And when I had to preach, it was so tough because I couldn't focus. And then I just asked God to download it to me, and He did, which was also a miracle and an awesome experience to have that. But I'd rather have my brain back. And then this week, when I sat with Him and I said, Lord, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling my own self again, little by little. Those who are close to me will hopefully can see it. I don't know, but my energy is coming back, and my focus, who I used to be. And then He said, verse 10, He said, "You have broken." It's a psalm, and He, this is speaking of God. the you is God. You have broken Rahab, and in my Amplified Bible it says Egypt, so it's the enemy now. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. And so many days I prayed, I said, Lord, can't you just heal me? Can't you just get this now done? What must I still repent? What can I do to help you or whatever? And now he says, it's done. It is done. He did it. Amen. So I just want to glorify God and say thank you.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the pleasure that she's got, Lord. Thank you for the power that she's got, Lord. For the strength that she's got, Lord. That it's all coming from you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. Awesome. Thanks, Martin. I prayed about it and asked the Lord for come in like an invite. So it's going to be a little bit like the invite will be going, what I'm going to speak about this afternoon. And then, yeah, invites. Take, for instance, an invite to a wedding. Well, if beforehand it will tell you you reserve the day. And once you've got a little bit of information about reserve the day, then closer to the date, it will send you more information and it will tell you, okay, it's going to be at that date, that place. It's going to be morning and afternoon, it's going to be on the beach, it's going to be in the bush, it's going to be, I don't know where it is. That information you're getting then, it will tell you also what is expected from you. So if it's going to be on the beach, that you're not becoming a formal black and white, but that you will have shorts, things like that. And then you've got an option that you can accept it. You can say, yes, I'm coming, I want to be part of that wedding, I'm going to celebrate along with you. You can say, no, I'm not coming. Not really that you're going to have any objections against the that being invited, but it's a matter of that you may be out of the country or whatever the case may be, you cannot come. And it could also be that you say, I'm not sure yet. It is going to be in August, but August I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be around or not. So those are the three options which you actually can reply then. And then if it's a little bit later, then the reminder of the event is coming. They're going to remind you again. They're going to say, please remember, the wedding which is going to take place in, I'm waiting for that picture. Christoph, do we have that picture, the next one? That one is now going to be in July the 9th, it says. So then coming closer to July the 9th, they will tell you, okay, please, you're reminded, you've been invited, you've got to keep that on your agenda that you're going to come. And then the event itself is going to be there. Then you're going to be at a wedding. But what I always find when it is on a wedding is that you're invited by the couple, you know the couple, but the amount of time that you actually spend with them is very little, hardly any time. They are sitting somewhere there and other people are just quickly going, and if they want to speak to all of them, then basically 5 minutes, then the whole evening or the day, whatever function they've got, it's gone, it's finished. But there are other type of invites as well. If you're going to invite somebody into your house, if you come to somebody and you ring the bell and they open the door and they invite you to say, come in. They will say, come in, come in. And they open up the door. Okay, let me take your coat. If it's custom, they will tell you, okay, take off your shoes. I don't want you that you should walk with the shoes in the house. My house is getting dirty. Leave the shoes at the door, things like that. But then you come closer to that person, because then you move into that, Anil would say, privacy of that person. You can see how they are living. What type of pictures do they have on the wall? What type of food are they eating? If you're lucky, they maybe invite you to stay over for supper. And you come closer to them. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the invites. And I had a look at three invites which I could find in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, and one in Revelations, which is going to be then for one, the vision which has been given to John. And it's coming out of the same verse what Martin has been reading as well. So, thank you, Lord. First one I would like to have a look at is the one from Esther. And it's Esther, in the book of Esther, not once the word of God has been used. It's actually a little bit strange, but it's about the Jewish people. And Esther was a Jew, she was in the Persian Empire, which was going from Egypt to India. So it wasn't a small country, it was a huge country. And Esther was in that country along with a family member, Mordecai. Then, through a little bit of a story, at the final end, if I can put it that way, she landed up being the queen, so that she was accepted over there in court, and she was in court. But then also it happened that a wicked guy with the name of Haman, I'm not quite sure if my pronunciation is correct or not, Haman, he was trying to get the Jewish people wiped out in that empire. Now, if we take a look at that empire from Egypt to India, it would mean that all the Jewish people would be gone, they would be finished. So he managed it, that the king wrote out a decree, and he said, okay, on that specific date, all the Jewish people are going to be killed. Young and old, male, female, everybody is going to be killed. And then at the same time, they're also allowed to plunder all the people. They're allowed to take all the stuff belong from it. And that message came via Mordecai. It came then to Esther, and Esther was inside the court. And then Mordecai also said to her, you're inside the court, and you might be feeling safe, because you're inside there. It's actually going to affect more the people outside. But remember, you're a Jewish person. It is possible that you're going to be affected as well. But you can do something, because you're closest to the king. And then she asked something, Esther. She said, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, that was the town where the king was staying, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. We had a fasting last month. We did it for 3 days. I think all of you will know where we go. I'm talking about a 3-day fast, what it actually means. And then she said, my maids and I will fast likewise, and so will I go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she knew that if she was going to the king, and if the king didn't invite her, then it would mean that she wasn't queen anymore, she must probably be killed, because that was the rules inside court. And then on Esther 5, now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes. It means, you've got to keep in mind, it's at the end of the third day, she's been fasting for 3 days. And if you've been fasting for 3 days, day and night, you haven't eaten or drank something, I don't think you look that good. But she put on the robe and stood in the inner courtroom of the king's palace across the king's house, while the king sat in his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So she was in the distance that he could see her. And so it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And that's something which the Lord placed in that king's mind. You cannot describe it anything else. But the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. By that, he was inviting her to come in and to speak then to her. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And then the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, up to half of the kingdom. It's not a bad offer. Half of the kingdom, from Egypt to India, half of the kingdom. Not bad. Mm-hmm. And then Esther answered and said, King, please come with Haman. Come today, because I've got a banquet which I've prepared for you. And then they came to the banquet. And then the king was asking the same again. And he said, what do you want to have? And then he said, please come tomorrow. And then the king said, okay, I will come tomorrow again for a banquet. So it is one banquet on which they were invited for the next banquet. And then something happened. That night, the king could not sleep. And then when he couldn't sleep, then he asked that the chronicles should be read to him. And when the chronicles were read, there was a story that Mordecai, the family member of Esther, actually informed the people that a complot, that something outside was planned to kill the king. And then has Mordecai been remunerated for that? Has he been honored for that? That he saved me from being killed by those people? And he said, no, it hasn't been done. Then he said, okay, then it has got to be done. And when they were, the next morning he asked Haman, and he said, okay, if I want to honor a person, how should I honor a person? And then Haman thought, okay, he's going to be honored. So he said, it has got to be on a horse in a royal clothing, it has got to be this and that, and somebody the highest in court has got to walk along with the horse and has got to scream at her, this person is good and all that. And he said, okay, it's good, you can do it, but you can do it for Mordecai. So then Haman wasn't very pleased when he had to do it, but he had to do it. And then when he came to the banquets of Esther, when King and Haman came to the banquet of Esther, the second day, it was on the second day, and then the king asked again to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you, even if it's half of the kingdom. And then Esther is actually coming now with the question of where it actually is going about. Let my life be given at my petition, and my people at my request. So he was asking, please, can the Jewish people be saved? Because there's a wicked guy who made in this decree, which means that all the Jewish people are going to be killed on a certain day. And then the king asked, who did this type of, where is it coming from? And then she said, that's the other person, because there were only three persons over there attending the banquet. It was Esther, it was the king, and Haman. And then the king got very angry. Haman has been killed. The Jewish people, unfortunately, that decree was spoken out, so nothing could be done about it to stop that decree. But then another decree was spoken out, that the Jewish people would be allowed to defend themselves. And that they also, once they were going to defend themselves, and if they would kill those people, that they also could plunder it, that they also could take the possessions of those people who they were going to kill. And if we read them, if it comes to that day, there were of the people of the kingdom who came to the Jewish people, who actually joined the Jewish people over there, because they feared them. And there were also people who were being killed, but the Jewish people didn't plunder anything from them. And then the Jewish people were very happy, because if it really would have happened, that story, then the whole Jewish people would have been wiped out. Then nothing would have been further on in history what could have been written, because it was all the Jewish people over there. So it's an important thing which happened. And then the festivities which they brought, festivities where they started with, is something which is still a major feast with the Jewish people, which is the Purim. The Purim is going to be next week, Sunday, for this year. And they say it's one of the most joyous, fun holidays on the Jewish calendar. So actually it happened that by the invite, the whole thing changed around. So the wicked Haman wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, but by the invite, Esther could start speaking to the king. Things changed around. So that's an invite that I would like you just to keep in mind. The next one is the parable of the wedding feast. That is Jesus telling a parable to the people around him. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. So this is an arranged marriage. There's no freedom of choice. Arranged marriage. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited. Now we go back again. So they already received an invitation beforehand, and they basically were reminded now again, those who were invited before. And in this parable, Jesus is referring to the Jewish people. The Jewish people who were invited to the wedding, but they were not willing to come. They were not in the mood to come, if I can put it that way. Again, the king sent out other servants saying, tell those who were invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle are killed, and all other things are ready. Come for the wedding. This is telling that it is close time. It doesn't last any longer anymore, because it's a dinner. And a dinner is actually the start of your festivities, of your wedding. So what the king is basically telling, we're starting with the festivities now. Go out again and get the people that you can start with it. And then he's getting answers. He's getting answers from two different parties. First one is they. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another one to his business. So you basically got two responses. The first one is from the people, they. So they thought that their own calendar was more important than what a wedding was. It is the one group. Then you've got another group. It's the rest. They seized the servants, treated them spitefully and killed them. And then the rest is seen as those people, like the scribes and the Pharisees, who couldn't see that the Gentiles would be raised to the same level as what they've been, or where they were. And then also the Sadducees, who couldn't accept the resurrection. And we know that the gospel with the resurrection is not a gospel. It doesn't mean anything, because that's where it is going about, that Jesus died and rose again. So there's two answers what the king got over there. And then the king heard about it, and he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up the city. And even in one of the comments, they say that burned up their city, it is referring that Jesus is prophesying over there that Jerusalem is going to be burned by the Romans over there. And then he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding, let them come. He's inviting all of them to the wedding. So those servants went out in the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And you think, right, it's nice. But then there's the last part, which I find quite important. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, bind him by hand and foot, take him away, and cast him in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. How was it possible that a person was in there without a garment? It was apparently custom in their time that if you were inviting people at that level, if you were inviting people to your wedding, to a wedding, you supplied a garment as well, so that the people could put a garment on, and that, you know, that you were part of the party, if I can put it that way. This person was not wearing a garment. So this person actually disrespected the king by not putting the garment on. That's the one option. The other option is that a person thought, I'm good enough. I don't need a garment of the king. I'm good enough. I can enter the wedding myself. Both sides were not acceptable to the king. That's why the guy was speechless. That's why he couldn't answer on that question, how did you get in without a wedding garment? And that's happening in this world as well. That people are not prepared to do what God is doing, not prepared to put on the garment what God has given to us. Or they're trying to get into heaven, get into the wedding by works. Or they're trying to do works and then justify themselves and say, okay, this is how I can get in. Both of them, it's not acceptable to God. Another interesting thing is as well is that in the verses what I just now read of this parable of the wedding feast, that he's talking about servants the whole time. But there's a difference in the servants. The first servants, those who did the invites, the Greek word is doulos, which means a slave, a servant, one working for you. But the last servants, who he said, bind them by hand and foot and take them away. The Greek name is dikanos, deacon, a servant, a ministry of a ministering angel. So there's another level of servants who were used for getting this person out. Then I'm coming to the third invite. And then the third invite is the one out of Revelations, the first part of my reading there as well. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here. He's invited into the throne room there. And I will show you the things which must take place after this. There is also that there's an open door, which means you can come in. It's not closed. And that is the door for us as well. It's open into the throne room. It's not closed. Jesus Christ is the door. When we accept him, then we can come into the throne room. Immediately, I, which is John then, was in the spirit, and behold, the throne set in heaven, and the one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like jasper and sardius stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. What John is doing every year, he can describe what's around God, but he cannot describe God. We cannot describe God. He's too big, he's too awesome. We've been singing it beforehand as well. John could just give a little bit of what's happening around it, because jasper is a transparent stone with a variety of most beautiful colors, which is actually signifying the glorious perfection of God, because he's so colorful. Then the sardius stone is a red stone, which is reflecting the blood of Jesus, the justice of God. And then the rainbow is reflecting then the covenant what God has got with Noah. And he's got that same covenant also with us forever and ever, that we're going to be with him. And then the emerald, it's a pleasant green. And a pleasant green is a refreshing, a reviving, because it's a new covenant. It's something new which is coming. So John is just describing a little bit of what is around it in the throne room, as he was invited in the throne room, but he said, come in. The Bible has been called a book of invitations. It's full of invitations. I've taken out these three invitations. There are more invitations. I'm just going to run through a few of them. I took out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and of Revelations, I took one of the invites, just to quickly run through it as well before I'm going to summarize it at the end. First one is in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. People are heavily laden by a burden of religious legalism. Those people, the Jewish people, they were really with what the Sadducees and the Pharisees were putting on their shoulder. It wasn't nice for them. The religion was really a burden for them. And Jesus is saying, come to me, I'll give you rest. God is giving you. Jesus is offering eternal rest to them. The next one is in Mark 1, verses 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Jesus is inviting all of us. No status necessary. Not that you first must get a degree, or that you must have a certain length, or that you must be white or black or colored or nothing. You're all acceptable to God. God is inviting all of us. Come. And Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Then in Luke, Jesus is actually inviting himself to Zacchaeus. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw a man and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay with you. Even a tax collector is good enough. And Jesus stayed with him. And then the last one is out of Revelations 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. Also an invitation. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And it's an invitation for a spiritual thirsty people, the people who want to drink, who want to absorb, who want to know more. They are invited. Coming back again, the Bible is a book of invitations. It's just the one invite after the other invite. But there are three things what I would like to focus on. The one is the urgency. It's all three of them, but actually the first two, we can see the urgency. If Esther wasn't going to do something, all the Jewish people would have been wiped out. And there's a certain urgency, but I think we've got as well, that as believers, we've got to tell other people. If we're not going to tell other people, Christianity is not going to last long. So we've got to tell other people. So there's an urgency. We cannot wait too long. It can be tomorrow, it can be finished, it can be another week, another year, it can be another 10 years. We don't know, but there's a certain urgency. So that's the one thing that I would like to bring under your attention, is in my attention as well this afternoon. And then the next one is set aside our own agenda and priorities and our own doctrines. Like we've seen with the parable of the wedding as well, some of them, they had their own business. Some of them had an agenda, and God didn't fit into the agenda. But God doesn't work like that. We've got to ask God, how can we fit in his agenda? He's not going to fit in our agenda. I'm going to fit in God's agenda. And then learn doctrines as well. We've got so many doctrines. We've got so many churches. But there's one thing which is so important, which is all of us, we've got, which I think must be head and shoulders about all the different doctrines what we've got, that is Jesus Christ has come to restore that relationship, that we can be invited to be with him forever and ever. And then the last one is, we are being invited to become one with God. God is inviting us to become fellow workers with him in 1 Corinthians, that we can be one with him, what we can see in John 17, 21 as well. And when we are one with him, we cannot come closer with him. We are one with him. And then once we are one with him, then our agenda is not a problem anymore. And our doctrines are not a problem anymore. And our urgency is also not a problem anymore. So we can run it from the top to the bottom, or from the bottom to the top. Those three things that I just would like to bring to your attention this afternoon is an urgency. There's an urgency that something has got to be done. We've got to bring a message. We cannot keep quiet. And we've got to make space for God in our agenda. We've got to ask him, how can we fit in his agenda? And we've got to become with God. Please stand. Heavenly Father, you're a Father who cares for your children. We thank you that we can be your children. And then we can hear today again, Lord, there's an urgency that you've got. We cannot wait too long. Jesus also said to the disciples, go. He didn't say, first do this or first do that. He just said, go, go, go. We've got to go, Father. We've got to bring the message. We've got to pray for other people. We've got to speak to other people. We've got to make it part of our life. That we're going to share the gospel with other people. That the gifts of the Holy Spirit also can work through us. And it is not going to be hidden, that we are open for it, Father. That we also can pray for it, Lord. That those gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can use them as it is going to be needed by people around us in the doors when we're crossing during the day. And I pray, Lord, that today, Lord, that we can be reminded of our Lord. It's what there's a reminder for those people who came to the wedding. And what we sometimes also get a reminder if we've got to come to a certain event. But this reminder is for us, it's not a reminder that we just tick again, Lord, but that we will take it seriously, Lord. There's an urgency, Father. And there's also an urgency in our agenda, Lord, that we will make space with for you, Lord, that we will spend time with you, Lord. And Lord, we could hear the testimonies as well, Lord. If we open up, Lord, then you are there, Lord. Then you reveal yourself, Lord. Then the Holy Spirit is working through us, Lord. And this is what I pray, Lord, that it is going to happen as well with us, Lord. That we're not just going to make it in Sunday, Lord, but that you're going to be living in us, Lord. That the Holy Spirit can work through us, Lord. From Monday till Tuesday till Wednesday, during the whole week, Lord. And that we can just testify again on Sundays of what happened during the week, Lord. And we can just glorify your name again, Lord. Thank you that you want to be one with us, Lord. That you want us to be fellow workers with you, Lord. For building your kingdom on this earth, Lord. That you want to work through us, Lord. That you've chosen us, Lord. That you want to work through us. We thank you for all those privileges, Lord. For all those rights which you're giving to us as a Father. As a creator of heaven and earth. We give you all the glory.